America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, that had to be one of the finer moments, and good morning, on this Saturday morning. That had to be one of the finer moments of the Eagles against the Cowboys. That was the NFC playoffs back in the year, one of the years that the Eagles went to the Super Bowls. It was the 80 season, 81 year, or 80 the year of 81. But Wilbert Montgomery, who was a terrific back for the Eagles. So just one of many moments against the Cowboys. You know, the one thing that I look at, and there'll be moments that we'll relive a little bit, and there's always good ones against the Cowboys. You know, the poor Cowboys, they talk about all their Super Bowls, and they got the rings are like ones you get in a Cracker Jack box. They're so small from when they made the rings smaller back then when you won a Super Bowl. The trophies have to be dusted off. They have so much dust on them these days. They don't win playoff games. Their quarterback, and I wish he was playing on Sunday. I really would be happier if Dak Prescott was playing, because he is a overrated turnover machine. He is. It is so great that the Cowboys are managed so poorly. The signings, the contracts, what they do. Jerry Jones might be a nice guy, but when it comes to putting together a team, he's an idiot. And that's what the Cowboys are. As soon as he signed Dak Prescott to that contract, I know I said it on the air, every Eagles fan should have been happy, because that screwed them up for at least 2 or 3 years, because he's just not good enough. He's got a losing record in the playoffs. They might win all those regular season games, and they're not going to do that this year because they really do suck. But I just don't know if it's the same energy that we all, you know, all of us get before an Eagles-Cowboys game. They're not America's team anymore. That's a disgrace. They ought to be sued for misrepresenting themselves, calling them, they still call themselves America's team. And what part of America likes the Dallas Cowboys other than a couple of few nitwits and morons and dopes that call the show, that they are not America's team? You know, you could ship them to another country and they wouldn't even be that country's team. I mean, it's, and they don't even play out of the country anymore. Jerry Jones has got that set up. He doesn't even go out of the country anymore. He gets that break, too. But, you know, it's just, they're just not a good football team. Injuries or no injuries, you can't always blame injuries for not doing well. But we'll talk about that today. Are the Cowboys, are they still really the rivalry that you most look forward to? You can't stand Cowboys fans because they're delusional. I mean, I dislike Cowboys fans more than I dislike the Cowboys because they're just foolish and stupid and ignorant and clueless. You just can throw the whole list in there. Just find every word you can find to tell you how clueless and stupid Cowboys fans are. But I think this is a dangerous game. The Eagles are so much better than this team. Because you can't take it for granted. You know, you came off a, it was a tougher win than it should have been last week. You came off a win that you were excited about. Every win you should be excited. You came off a win that you were excited about. And you got Washington Thursday night. You know, it's too easy to look. This is a game where they could really look ahead. This is a game. You know, these nitwits that called last week a trap game. It's not a trap game. They don't even know what the real definition of a trap game is. This is a dangerous game because I wouldn't call it a trap because it's usually a game between two division opponents. You're playing a division opponent with another division opponent coming up next week. But because the Cowboys are so awful, the team has to be careful not to look ahead. Now, everybody's going to be healthy, regardless of the drama that you heard yesterday, and people are making a big deal out of nothing. Out of nothing. The only player that really won't play that you're looking forward to coming back would be Jordan Mailata. And Mailata is due to come off the injured list for the game on Thursday night against the Redskins, whatever they're called, the Commies, the Commodores, whatever they are. But he's due to come off that game. Now, whether he'll play, we'll find out. They don't really practice that much this week. That's why, you know, I think it might only be 50-50 that he plays on Thursday. You know, they're not going to practice on Monday because it's a day after coming back late from Dallas. They'll practice on Tuesday, which they normally don't do, so you got to be careful about working them too hard. And Wednesday's usually a walkthrough, or the day before the game is usually a walkthrough. So I don't know if Jordan Mailata will play or won't play. But the other thing that I want to deal with, there's a lot of things I want to deal with. The drama, the unnecessary drama, and it was drama, created drama, contrived drama. Nick Sirianni, and I don't know why Nick Sirianni said what he said, but if you go back to listening to Jalen Hurts on Wednesday when he speaks on Wednesdays. I don't know when he's going to speak next week, but normally on Wednesdays for a Sunday game. You could tell he was pissed about being given the day off for rest. Now, it was only a walkthrough, and he was out on the field. And not one time this week did I notice any kind of limp or favoring an ankle. It's ridiculous. But he was angry that he was given a day of rest. And normally a player, when you have a built-in injury excuse, will say, hey, listen, I was just resting my ankle. So why wouldn't he say that? If in fact, his ankle was giving him problems. You know, I love the story where I love when the stories always say league sources. There's no league sources. It's just they're just trying to clear things up from the team themselves. But whether call it load management, I don't care what the favorite term of the NBA, that we're giving them a day off. Because you have two games in, 4 days? And I don't know if Nick Sirianni was trying to cover for him or make him, not cover, but make him feel better by saying it was an ankle rather than he was just giving him rest because he knew he was angry. The teams have to list injuries. It is a rule. Otherwise, you can be fined. Heavy fines. And even yesterday when it said Jalen Hurts, when players practice fully, they say in the injury report what the injury was that now he's practicing fully. And next to Jalen Hurts' name, it said rest. So they could have changed that if they wanted to. They didn't, because that doesn't exist. I saw Jalen Hurts on Wednesday walking multiple times. Never, ever, ever did I notice anything other than a brisk walk like he always does. There was no favoring of any ankle. This is just, it's so ridiculous. It's like yelling. I said to Joe Giglio, do you go to a movie theater? Are you the guy that yells fire? I mean, it's enough. And then because somebody talks about it, and then it's on social media, and then I don't even know what ESPN said, but ESPN just fills time at this time of the year. They just fill time. You know, it's boring to keep on running a lot of basketball games because the NBA is a boring product. So most of the games are blowouts. So the NBA is not exciting. But so they just fill time and they tease it. Oh, is Jalen Hurts hurt? It just, that's what people do. That's what the business is. But, I mean, I didn't see any semblance of an injured ankle, and the Eagles didn't list anything. And they have to if there's an injured ankle. So I'm just trying to, you know, hopefully people relax. Oh, he strained his ankle. Oh, his ankle. No. The tough part is they have two games in 4 days. That's the tough part. But it's a tough part for Washington, too. It's a tough part for the Eagles, but at least the Eagles play at home. Those Thursday night games, you realize, are just, they're all for the money of the NFL and television. They don't care about the health of players. They really don't care. But, I mean, that's the reality of what the NFL is these days. So that's what they have to. So if they are blowing the Cowboys out, who knows, he may rest people. I'd be more worried about Saquon Barkley, but I saw him. He rested most of the week, but he was limping in the fourth quarter on Sunday, and I saw him doing sprints at practice. I forget which day, whether it was Wednesday or Thursday. It might have been Thursday. I saw him doing sprints at practice, although he didn't, was listed rest. He didn't really practice with the team. But he looks fine, too. But I'd worry more about him than I worried about Jalen Hurts, because I did see him limp on Sunday. All right, so we can talk about that. And this, the question I asked, is this really a rivalry? Is the rivalry still there? Is the rivalry still there? Do you really still get pumped up when they play the Cowboys? Cowboys fans, I imagine they're going to be silent today after the Cowboys get beat again, about to lose another game, and they are cooked. They are done, done, done. All right, let me give you the numbers. 215-592-9494. Also, the Sixers. It's actually a commonplace now that they lose. So they lost again last night. But the games aren't even close anymore. They're not even close. It's disgraceful. I know guys are hurt. Teams have players that are hurt. But I don't know if the other guys even give real effort. Are they really giving effort? And that's the that's really the coach's responsibility, for them to give effort. And I don't know if they are giving effort. Sixers have won one game. Well, Embiid hasn't played. Well, he's not going to play a lot of games this year anyway. I mean, if he plays 50, I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked if he plays 50 games. He's got his money. He's got his $62.5 million average money for the next 5 years, a year. $62.5 million. it's really kind of a joke. The Sixers have won one game in eight. One game. They're tied with the worst record in the league. Yeah, and I don't want to hear about process, which failed before, and now you got a real fraud overseeing. I'm not even confident they can make the right draft picks. So, but Embiid may play on Wednesday. Then if he plays on Wednesday, he's not going to play on Tuesday against the Knicks. Then he's not going to play Wednesday against the Cavs. Hey, the Sixers want to thank those ticket holders for the Wednesday game when nobody's playing. You know, just think, you're going to see for the first time at the Wells Fargo Center, you're going to see a G League game against the best team in the NBA. Right now, the best team in the NBA is real, and I don't know if they're the best team, but record-wise, they're the best team, are the Cleveland Cavaliers. So congratulations to those people that have tickets. But all I can say about the Sixers right now is, do you really care? Do you really care? This team was built to fail. Built to fail. And we'll get into the Phillies later. Mark Lawrence will join us at right around 9:40 to take a look at the weekend football and see what he thinks about the Eagles laying 7.5 points against a bad Cowboys team. All right, let's go to the phones. Matthew, you're on WIP.
Yeah, what's going on, Alan?
You tell me.
Well, look.
Okay, I'm looking.
Game tomorrow with the Cowboys, I don't really care. I mean, I'm not glad he got hurt, but I'm glad we're not facing Prescott because
I'd rather have Prescott play.
Howard, you always say that, but he's 9-4 against us in his career, and every time he plays,
he's a turnover machine.
Yeah, but he lights us up, Howard. I'm glad we're not facing. I'm not glad he's hurt, but I'm glad he's not facing. But listen, this is my main point.
Okay.
You and this Sirianni, man, you got to stop sticking up for this guy. He is not. He's not a good coach, first of all.
Well, he is a good coach.
No, he's not. You can run off the numbers all you want, Howard, but listen. You give any coach, you give 25 coaches in this league, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, the second or third best offensive line, a decent quarterback, and Saquon Barkley. Who's screwing that up, Howard? Nobody's screwing that
up. Teams that have good players don't always win.
That's fine, Howard, but they're immensely talented on offense. There's only maybe the Lions and maybe San Fran, when they're fully healthy,
They've had injuries on the offensive line. They were without A.J. Brown for, what, 2.5 games?
Answer my question.
Were they without A.J. Brown for 2.5 games?
Okay, fine. They still got the
Smith. Is he, if not the best, one of the top two or three wide receivers in the NFL?
Yes.
Okay. So they were without him, right?
Okay.
They lost Devontae Smith in a game, correct?
You're right.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question, though?
I'm just saying.
Now, last year they had all them people and without Devontae, and they had one of the worst Eagles collapse ever. What other coach in the NFL?
They couldn't tackle. They couldn't tackle.
Come on, Howard.
They couldn't tackle.
You're right.
Wait a minute. Did you see them tackle? I don't even know you, but they couldn't tackle you.
Right, but the offense wasn't doing anything either, Howard. They lost to Zach Wilson, Drew Locke, Tyrod Taylor. Howard.
Okay.
But this is my point. He's not. Listen. And now you saw what you saw last week with him trying to prove himself.
And what I said is I did not agree. I did not agree with two of the decisions. The extra point when it was 16-0, I felt should have been kicked. And then the other, when you can go up 9 in the fourth quarter, they should have kicked the field goal. But understand, he doesn't call the plays on offense. Understand that there's information that's fed down to the coaches from the press box area on the analytics percentages in those situations, and then he makes a decision. But when the analytics and the team likes analytics, I don't agree with everything that they like. The team likes analytics. He's following what the team likes and the percentages of the analytics. That's what he's doing. But I disagree with two of his decisions. And I said that consistently last week, or this week.
I hear you say this all the time about other people, and they will do. You'll say, oh, well, you better be glad the Cowboys or whoever got Mike McCarthy or whoever, because they'll never win a Super Bowl. Well, that's how I feel about our coach. With Sirianni as coach, we will never win a Super Bowl.
Wait a minute. Do you think if Jalen Hurts hadn't fumbled that football that went for a touchdown, don't you think they would have won that football game? They were killing Kansas City in the first half.
Well,
they let him back. They let him back in the game.
Howard, I don't even think we get to the Super Bowl if San Francisco has a quarterback. But that's
I don't keep it. But well, you could say that about everybody. Everybody has a situation. Hey, if you don't like Sirianni, you don't like Sirianni. And there's nothing I'm going to do to change that. If they don't go, if they don't win at least two games in the playoffs, or go to the NFC Championship game, that would be this. It could be the second game. If they don't get to the NFC Championship game, I would doubt that Nick Sirianni would be back next year. Because teams just make change. Coaches are hired to be fired. That's the reality of the situation.
Well, this is the last thing I'm going to say, Howard. You always say, you know, if Sirianni, I heard you say, if Sirianni gets fired, he'll have a job in another second. Listen, if he gets fired, not only will he not get another head coaching job, he won't even get an offensive coordinator job. And I'll give $1,000 to any charity of your choice.
Okay, you're on. You're on. Okay, back at the studio. Get Matthew's number, his address, his prison number, anything. All right.
All right,
have a good weekend. I don't know. I could be guessing at that, but maybe I'm right. Maybe he does have a prison number. Bernadette, how are you this
morning? Hey, King. Hey, Howard.
What's happening?
Just... big game tomorrow, so psyched for it, man.
Yes, it is. Well, it's a big game because they got to beat this team and not just take it for granted.
Oh, I have no doubt that they'll beat the Cowgirls tomorrow.
Well,
you can tell that.
I have no doubt they'll beat them. I don't know if they'll cover the number.
A feeling of a 31-18 victory.
18? Where do the Cowboys get 18 points? How does that happen? What is that, six field goals? I don't think they have six scoring drives.
I think it'll be like maybe 31-28, really.
What'd you say? You'd say 30-28?
Yeah. Or 31-28.
What, Eagles 31-20? You think it's going to be that close?
I think it'll be close.
Well, you just told me 31-18.
Well, the first score I was just joking with.
Oh, okay. All right.
I really think it's going to be like really close, 31-28.
Is it still a rivalry?
It's always a rivalry between those two.
Yeah, but the Cowboys stink. And they,
I know.
Yeah.
Because their record's, what, 3-5?
I don't know.
3-4?
Three in the end of the season. that's what they are. Now, I just wonder. My question is it the same? And thanks for the call, Bernadette. Is it the same juice? Do you have the same juice and same excitement playing the Cowboys? And I love these people. Well, the Eagles have a really good. They have a really talented team. Well, there's coaches that have talented teams that don't win. I mean, you can go right down the list. There's coaches that have... Cincinnati has one of the top three quarterbacks in football, and they have a losing record. It just... they've blown two big leads against the Baltimore Ravens and have lost both of them. They've blown two big leads. But they have talent. So just because you have talent doesn't mean you always win. So, you know, the reason everybody focuses, there's so much more focus on the Eagles for obvious reasons. They're the team that's the most favorite team. They're the favorite team of fans in Philadelphia. They're the most followed. They're the team that everybody loves to talk about. But with all that said, you know, it's just the people just find things. They just find things to complain about. You know, the Sixers are a mess, an absolute disaster. They are a dumpster fire. They are really, really, they're a poorly constructed team with an awful ownership, an awful president and general manager that makes decisions, personnel decisions. He's done nothing to make this team better. Paul George last night, and you know, I don't want to talk about the Sixers when we come back. You know, he doesn't play that many minutes. I don't know what the deal is. And he's not shooting it that well. You can't not give it your best just because players are hurt. If you want to talk about him, we'll talk about him. Why are the Sixers, why are people not outraged with the Sixers? And I still think Joel Embiid's going to get booed on Tuesday night. Probably going to play on Tuesday night against the Knicks. I still think he's going to get booed. They can't put up with him. He just, you know, you give him some minutes. He doesn't want to give him any minutes. Doesn't want to hurt his average. 215-592-9494. I got to get into the Phillies, too. I don't think the Phillies are getting Soto. You can sacrifice for Soto. You can do whatever you want. Sacrifice by whatever. I don't think there's any real sacrifices out there. So he doesn't care. He cares about money and the team. Scott Boras cares about money and the team. And that's the reality of that situation. All right. 215-592-9494. We're at the Borgata, as we are on Saturdays, broadcasting live out of the Sportsbook. Borgata's a great place. Sportsbook is a wonderful place. People enjoy it. So it's all good. The time now is 8:25, and wake up in the morning. Most of us are hungry in the morning, right? You know, you got a full day ahead of you, and you want to enjoy something. What's better to enjoy than sitting down, grabbing a pack of Tasty Cake? I mean, you got a full day ahead of you. You want to take care of yourself. Call it a reward, call it whatever you want. But if you're waiting all day, you've waited too long for a Tasty Cake. And then you got to choose which one. The crimpets are always sensational. The peanut butter candy cakes are always terrific. The pies are great. So you make the choice. But if you make the choice of a Tasty Cake to satisfy your appetite and to treat yourself, you're making a good decision. Because it's always time for Tasty Cake. Choose what feels right and enjoy it. You've earned it. And you know you deserve it. Tasty Cake, accept no substitutes. You know what? There's so many good moments. Lito Shepherd's pick six when he ran the length of the field. What was that, 2006? And it's over years, many years in which the Cowboys did not win. Shocking. Shocking that they did not win. So it's just, I'm looking at a piece of video. Somebody just retweeted something from 1988. I didn't realize it was March 12th, 1988. I was the ring announcer for Hulk Hogan and Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man in the Lumberjack match at the Spectrum. It's crazy, some of the nonsense that I did. But it was cool, actually. And I got to, now I know Hulk. I've had dinner with him in Florida. He lives in the Clearwater area. It's great. All right, let's go back and take care of business here. It's a Dallas Eagles week. Dave, you're on WIP.
Good morning, Howard.
Hey, how are you?
All right. I talk about Embiid for a second, and then I want to get to the Eagles in Dallas. You know, when Embiid decided he wanted to be in the Olympics last summer and play in the Olympics, now you're already hurt. You got knee problems, and you're missing a lot of games because you're injured. And, you know, a lot of us were like, well, why are you playing in the Olympics? And now you're back, and you can't get on the court. So I think the Olympics had something to do with it, where maybe he should have stayed in rehab, and maybe he could have been on the court.
Well,
right,
but here's the point with that. He's selfish. He's only about Joel Embiid. I know he's a talented player. I get all that. But he's not a winning player. He's selfish. He's lazy, doesn't listen to the coach, plays for himself and not for his teammates. I don't even know if he wants the ball in the last 3 or 4 minutes of the fourth quarter. Some people believe he doesn't even want the ball.
They're going to boo him. There's no doubt about that because, you know, we don't like guys like that. You know, if you hustle and you're not the most talented, that's the type of guy that you know that Philly wants. But you got all that talent, and like you said, he's not putting his teammates or the team first. So that's my comment about it. I do believe they'll boo him Tuesday night.
Okay. All right. So do you really care about the Sixers anymore?
Well, I'm a Sixers fan. I don't like what's going on with them. You know, I got a lot of Sixers jerseys and everything. I won't even put it on because I'm so embarrassed with how they're playing, from Daryl Morey on down to the worst guy on the team. I mean, they're a lottery pick. I believe they're
Daryl lottery. Morey is invisible. Invisible, because that's just what he wants to be. He wants to be invisible.
You get a 35-year-old Paul George. Now, what did he think that was going to save everything?
When really, other than last year, he's averaged about 50 games a year for the previous 4 years. Now, one of them was the pandemic, but still, the other 3 years weren't the pandemic.
Right.
I mean, it's a joke. Hey, Paul George is a good player. Not for 4 years.
No. Now it's Dallas week. You know, naturally it's always, I believe it's always going to be a rivalry. I can go back to Franklin Field and bring up games where Dallas did this and that, and their fans, their cockroach fans, keep it a rivalry because look, I don't hear them calling up the station no more. Where are they at? I want the
They're around.
Fans.
They're around. You know, they got their head up their rear end, but they're around.
Yeah. You know, call up the station. Let's hear some intelligent comments there. Oh, I was a
Cowboy. Whoa. If you're talking about Cowboys fans, there is no intelligent common sense.
Well,
none.
To them it's intelligent, yeah.
But to them.
They'll say, I've been a Cowboy fan since Troy Aikman or Roger Staubach. Yeah. You certainly wasn't a fan when Quincy Carter was the quarterback or Ryan Leaf was the quarterback. Yeah, they wanted to be associated with.
Well, that's why I nicknamed them cockroaches, because they're cockroaches. You know what cockroaches do? When the muck and grime, when it's cloudy outside, they stay in the muck and grime. When the sun comes out, then they come out of the muck and grime. So that's what Cowboys fans are. That's why I named them cockroaches.
Yeah. Well, I hope they call up and let's hear what they. I don't think they're going to be calling up though. I think it's Dallas week. It's a special week. You know, we don't like our division rivals like with Washington or the Giants, but we don't hate them. You know, their fans are, you know, a little bit knowledgeable, but. I think with Dallas, it's a special week. I think it's always going to be a rivalry with Eagles-Dallas.
Okay. So you still think it's a rivalry?
Oh, absolutely. All right. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. So Dallas week is still good for you. All right. Thanks for the call. Have a great weekend. Rich, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Howard. How you doing?
I never had a bad day in my life. When I'm at the Borgata, it's so good. I get in here on Friday. It's good. It's fun. I love the people here. It's an enjoyable time for me.
There you go. Us elders have to keep the rivalry alive. One of the ways we're doing it in Washington Township today is the second annual Crush the Cowboy Car. We drop pumpkins from a 110-foot fire department ladder. It's a community event. We've got costumes. It's all free.
Where is this? Where is this?
Washington Township, New Jersey. Washington,
well, wait a minute. You drop pumpkins. You mean for Halloween?
Right now we set up pumpkins. We drop pumpkins.
You just got to be careful. They're going to splash all over the place. You don't want to splash them on people.
No. I've done this before, Howard. I'm a town elder. You know, I got it. So we have the community coming. They drop off pumpkins. We got them here now. We've got costume characters like Elsa and Spider-Man coming. It's a free event. We're honoring this year a child who passed from cancer, Cole Fitzgerald, and it should be good. We're expecting about 400 or 500 people. We got a bunch of the mayor, et cetera, coming. But
All right. I'm glad you're doing that. But are you still big on the rivalry with the Eagles and the Cowboys?
Absolutely. It's up to me to bring that down generationally, to always keep the fact that Dallas sucks and they are cockroaches. That's exactly, you got that right, Howard. Absolutely. No matter what the teams are, no matter how bad they are this year, they're never going to be bad. We always have to keep our eyes on an upset. So, you know.
Well, we better not come down to that. Better not be close.
Absolutely. It better not be. It better be 31-10, you know. So we're basically looking forward to, you know, a really good game like we always do every year, and keep the fact that Dallas will always suck.
You know what? Instead of giving an E-A-G-L-E-S, you got to say, Dallas sucks.
Wearing a hat right now, my man. Dallas sucks. Absolutely. But
all right. Enjoy the event and have a great day.
Thank you, sir. Have a good one.
All right. Take care. All these people out in Washington Township. I see there's a loser on the line. Loser on the line. What does that translate to? Yep. 215-592-9494. I see somebody wants to talk about MB, too. It's just, boy, what a waste. What a waste. I'm glad that's part of the process, the scam that it was. 215-592-9494. Hey, if the Phillies don't get Soto, this is my question. If the Phillies don't get Soto, and I think it's an extreme long shot, what can they do to get better? Who, you know, they're going to make Alec Boehm and Castellanos and who, and Marsh. Marsh, boy, Marsh will get you a lot. I don't know if Marsh will get you a dozen donuts or two dozen donuts. I don't know if he's worth two dozen donuts. I know he's worth a dozen donuts. But is he worth two dozen donuts? Well, yeah, boy, we're trading a lot, aren't they? I'm Howard Eskin. We're at the Borgata. Borgata, which is a great, 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 as I've told you, great place. I always enjoy my day and a half here. It's a day. I come in on Friday, relax a little bit after Eagles practice, come down here, and I talk to the people, have a good time, walk around. At night I walk around at past the poker room, which is always full, and it's open 7 days a week, so it's always full. And people really enjoy it. The excitement is here. It really is. It's the best hotel, casino, and spa in Atlantic City and probably on the East Coast. You're only miles away from your happy place. Now experience the restaurants. They are award-winning. The bars, terrific. Live music, big-name entertainment, and a spacious casino. And it's filled with your favorite slots and table games. The action at Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa doesn't stop. You can start planning your getaway. And when I say spa, it's an award-winning spa. It's terrific. You can check it all out and set up what you want to do to have some fun. Check it out at theborgata.com for more details.
Say it was no play. Eagles stopped them once. Can they stop them again? Here we go. Fourth down. They give it to Smith, and they stop them again. They stop them again. And this time they can't take it away from the Eagles. The safety.
talk about, you know, I love the caller that called earlier. When you have talent, you can win. Barry Switzer was an idiot. Of course, one of the many idiots that were Cowboys coaches. And not only that, was the Eagles won the game because then all they had to do was kick a field goal. But, you know, you're in your own territory. It was around the 30-yard line. What are you doing? It's one thing to go for it. Excuse me. But what are you doing? And then he gets stopped once, and then they stop him again. I love Stan Walters. Stan Walters was the color analyst at that time. He says, uh-oh, we got problems. Because the officials, of course, they always throw a bone to the Cowboys. And they threw a bone to the Cowboys. Oh, the two-minute warning happened before the play. Really? Where were you guys with the whistles? Just joking. And then they stopped them again. The Cowboys suck. The Cowboys do suck. I wonder how many times I can say that before I go off the air today. The Cowboys suck. And talking about suck, Cowboy Jim, what's happening there, big guy?
Would you stop replaying the Emmitt Smith thing? They won the Super Bowl that year. They won the Super Bowl. Why do you keep replaying that?
Because they stopped them again.
Oh, stop. And let me go back to 1980, because some of your dummy Eagle fans that call in really don't know history very well. If Roger Staubach had played in that NFC Championship game, you would have lost. And I was there.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. That doesn't work.
Yeah,
you know what Cowboys fans always have? What have the Cowboys done in the last 25 years?
And you, okay, listen to this. Listen.
What have the Cowboys done in the last 25 years?
The whole world was not happy seeing a bunch of dirty bums playing the Oakland Raiders in the 1980 Super Bowl. They're like, wait, we want the Cowboys.
We're not talking about the Eagles. We're talking about the Cowboys.
And then it took 37 years after that Super Bowl, this is what Cowboys fans finally win one.
This is what Cowboys fans are. It's just that they always whine about something else rather than the reality of themselves.
And then guess what? They went to two NFC Championship games after that.
And when's the last time they've been to a Super Bowl?
Look, if it wasn't for the Dallas Cowboys, the NFL would be nothing.
First of all, they're not America's team anymore. That's a joke.
They sure are. They ought to be sued for using that mantra.
They are not America's team. They're not even the world's team. They're not even Mars' team. They're nobody's team.
They're number one financially. They're the...
Financially doesn't make any difference. Just because, hey, Josh Harris makes a lot of money, does that mean that he's smart? No, he's not smart in sports. He may be smart financially to get all these assets. How about Sixers? I don't even know why I brought that up, but because he's such a bad ownership. He's rooting against the Eagles, and he owns the Sixers. How can Sixers fans give him a dime? But anyway, I got off the subject, just like you get off the subject when you want to deal. Hey, how good are the Cowboys this year?
They're having a rough time. They have a lot of injuries.
Everybody has injuries. The Eagles had a lot of injuries. The Eagles have had a lot of injuries, and they have a winning record.
No. These injuries are like the major players.
Wait a minute. Isn't A.J. Brown a major player?
And if he was down, if he was out for a whole cup for like 2 months, like some of these Cowboy players are,
is not A.J. Brown a major player?
Yes, he is. He's a major player.
Okay, all right, so don't give me major player. Is Devontae Smith, they lost him in a game too. Is Jordan Mailata a major player? Micah Parsons gets shut down by the Eagles. So don't give me Micah Parsons. And Dak Prescott's a turnover machine. He sucks. The Cowboys will suck with him at quarterback. Dallas sucks. Dallas sucks. And you defended, you know what? You started this out by defending Barry Switzer. He might have been the dopiest coach ever. He won with Jimmy Johnson's players. That's what he won with.
If it wasn't for the miracle in Minnesota, you guys would be like the Bills, 0-4.
Just take my bag. I need you to carry my bag.
And I need chocolate chip muffins, so bring those.
You know what? You're not worthy. The Borgata has the best muffins in America, and I bring them for people on the plane, and I bring them for the flight attendants. You don't get any until there's you're the last man standing or the last clown standing, whatever.
If your top four defensive players went down for a month, you guys would look at the count. Their top four defensive guys were out. And now you sit here and go,
excuse,
oh, they stink. They're horrible.
Hey, you know what? Should I play the baby crying? Should I play the crying?
Even if the Cowboys would win, I would really be happy.
Hey, when I see you today, I want to see an L on your head because you are a stone cold loser. All right? Just like the Cowboys because they suck. Chocolate chip, huh?
Chocolate.
Yeah, just carry my bag. Just carry my bag. Cowboy fans. Cowboy fans, give me a break. 215. That might be just as bad as their dislike for the team. Is a dislike for the Cowboy fans. It's just, it's a complete joke. All right, 215-592-9494. We're at the Borgata at the Sportsbook. Wah, wah, wah. Like a Captain Cowboy, I torch his rear end too. He's another loser. Cowboys fans. There's a couple of people on my way down. For people, I'll just give them a little shout out. I always stop at the Frank S. Farley Plaza. I go in and say hello to the folks in this whatever that gas station is. I think it's owned by 7-Eleven. I don't know what, Sunoco, whatever. I always go in. There's a couple of Cowboys fans there. Actually, more than a couple. It's sickening. It's sickening. I got to listen to those clowns. And one of the women that works inside told me she was a Cowboy fan. You got to be kidding me. I mean, it's just sick. It's a disease. I'm Howard Haskin. The time now is 8:56. All right. You know, you can get yourself happy. You know, the one thing I do, actually, when I stop into Frank S. Farley, I see the different varieties of Tasty Cake, which obviously they have there. It's a Sunoco station. Just ask for the Cowboys fans. They'll come out of the muck and grime like the other cockroaches do. But I don't want to influence what I'm about to tell you. What I do is look for the different kinds of Tasty Cakes because you want to treat yourself. And I always think about it. And there are times when I'm at the studios, I grab whether it's the butterscotch crimpets, whether it's the peanut butter candy cakes, whether it's the pies and the cakes. Tasty Clear. Love the Tasty Clear. And now there's still, I think pumpkin is still on the shelves. They're all so good. I mean, you can't treat yourself any better. You have a long day. You got to start it off the right way. You got to continue it through the day. There's nothing better. Nothing better because you deserve it. Nothing better than a Tasty Cake because it's always time for Tasty Cake. So choose what feels right and enjoy it. You have earned it and you deserve it. Tasty Cake, except no substitutes.
Hurts in the gun. Barkley to his right. Motion, Jahan Dotson. Back goes Hurts. He's looking. He's pumping. He is floating it for Barkley, who catches it for a touchdown. Just inside the right sideline.
What a great catch. This is a great catch, great throw. This is over the outside shoulder. Saquon Barkley, he shakes the defender, gets to the outside, and Jaden launches his ball to the outside shoulder. This is a difficult catch, but he makes it for 20-yard touchdown.
Attention. Can I please have your attention? The Eagles have scored in the first quarter for the first time this season. Back comes Hurts. He fakes. He's looking. He backs up. He is looking for Jahan Dotson, who juggles it and comes down with the football. Dotson all the way down at the 30. What a great play. Jahan Dotson with his biggest play as an Eagle. Hurts in the gun. He backpedals. He's looking, still looking. He fires it out in the flat to Barkley, who beats one man, spins past another, leaps over a third, and comes down at the 30.
What was that? I've never seen that move, and I've been watching football all my life.
Well, he did that. He did that to show off to Shady McCoy.
He's never done this. No one's ever done this. He hurdles a guy backwards. How do you jump over a guy backwards?
He did.
What am I watching?
Calcaterra moves to his right. Here goes Hurts going for the end zone. Devontae Smith, he caught it one-handed.
My goodness.
I don't know if
what
he stayed.
He's
in.
Smitty.
He's in.
Oh, my
one
goodness.
One hand. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he did it and stayed in.
Smitty is unbelievable.
Lawrence back. Lawrence looks. Firing for the end zone. Intercepted! Intercepted to Kobe Dean! He picks it off from the end zone. No flags! The Eagles are going to escape.
He's going for it. The Ernest Johnson down the left side. N'Kobe Dean sticky covers, as I just mentioned, and N'Kobe Dean pulls it away from Johnson.
N'Kobe Dean saved the game!
From the 9-yard line, first down. Vic, back to pass. And that is caught by Jackson along the sideline. And Jackson, down the middle of the field, being chased inside the 20, inside the 10, and into the end zone backwards for the touchdown. Wow. Twisted his ankle, missed a couple of plays, comes back in, and it's 91 yards.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was in 2010 against the Cowboys. The Eagles were inside the 10-yard line. A little short pass to the sideline, and DeSean Jackson made the Cowboys look like the Cowboys. Sick and stupid. Sick and stupid is probably a good way to describe him. Actually, that's a good way to describe Cowboys fans, too. Sick and stupid. Second hour. The Eagles-Cowboys, is it the same? The drama yesterday. I'm telling you, I thought Philadelphia Eagle football was coming to an end yesterday with the drama. The drama. And it was such drama. Jalen Hurts' ankle. He's not listed on the injury report. He was angry when he got rest on Wednesday, which is really just a walkthrough anyway. You could tell by the way Jalen Hurts answered questions. And I don't know if Nick Sirianni was trying to make an excuse for him. He misunderstood the question. Whatever it is. I saw him 3 days this week, and he looked fine. R-E-L-A-X. Relax. The building is not burning down. I'd worry more about Saquon Barkley, who looked fine too. He rested pretty much all week, but he was limping. He was limping on Sunday in the fourth quarter, but he looked fine. It's just the drama that exists is absolutely unbelievable. All right, let's go to Joe in Yadin. Joe, you're on WIP.
Morning, Howard. How you doing?
Another day in paradise. What can I tell you, Joe?
There you go. We're alive and well. It's a beautiful, chilly day and sunny.
Yeah, it is a little chilly.
Yes. two things. Regarding first Eagles, long story short, my wife and I went down to Austin, Texas to visit our daughter who lives and works in Texas.
Yep.
Her boyfriend is, born in Texas, so of course he's a Dallas Cowboys fan, which is fine. Now, we went to an Eagles bar down there. Really nice. Very awesome. People all green. It was really cool. Yep. And a lot of people were there were parents of children who worked down there.
Uh-huh.
So it was really unique to meet people like from Bruce Wynn, all of Delaware County. It was really, really cool. Now, during the game, we watched the Dallas game first. And of course, Dallas gave the game away. And her boyfriend, being a Cowboy fan, wore his Dallas jersey. He took it off. And so I felt bad for him. I really felt bad for him. But overall, despite you know, taken away. They should have won by more than eight points. They gave away 8 points in a, you know, 2-point conversion and this and that. They still won. Now, if they lost that game, how would you feel about that if they lost that game for the coach?
You mean last week's game you're talking about?
Yes, last week's game.
Yeah, but they didn't. How would I feel? I mean, I feel with a 22-0 lead, you should never have lost that game.
Yes.
Okay, but that's not always the coach. Now, I've been on record. I didn't like two of the decisions. Not kicking the extra point at 16-0.
Yep.
And then you have to go for two the next time because you lost the points, so you're chasing the points. And I did not like not kicking the field goal. I guess it was mid to late in the fourth quarter to go up nine.
Right.
I didn't like that's two scores. I didn't like that. But the reality is, how did the defense give up a 20? Well, one of them was a bad call, but you can't blame a bad call. It was a touchdown on a fumble, which wasn't a fumble. But the reality is, you can't give up a 22-0 lead. That's not always the coach, but he's given, I'll say he's fed, he's given the percentage of analytics in different situations, and the information's passed down from the press box. And obviously, he liked the percentages, and he makes the decisions. There's so many coaches, the world has changed in the NFL, that are going for it on fourth down, that are going for two, that are just doing different things based on the numbers. But I don't think you can chase points in the first half. I don't think you can do that. But I've been on record. But if they lost the game, it would have been a disaster. But there would have been a lot of people to blame. What happened to the offense that after it was 22-0? You know, so there's a lot of things you can look at. And the coach is one of them by a couple of his decisions. But it's not always the coach. Players play the game.
I agree 100% with that. You know, and again, he's a very good coach. I know he is. But again, he's got to basically really think things. You know, if you have points, you know, you take the points. You take them, especially the Dallas game tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, I would say not. I don't disagree with all of them, but I disagree with the 16-0 kicking the extra point and not kicking the field goal. Yeah, I disagree with that. So,
and regarding Embiid, Chamberlain would destroy him, throw him in a trash can.
Oh, we absolutely stuffed him in the trash can.
Yes.
I mean, would have absolutely destroyed him. And I've talked to people that played with Wilt. Wilt would have destroyed Joel Embiid. He couldn't keep up with Wilt. He'd be gassed after about 15 minutes.
That's too long. Maybe 5 minutes because Chamberlain was a track star.
Maybe. You're right.
Yeah.
So, all right. Hey, Joe, you have a great weekend. Let's go. Where are we going here? Joe, you're on WIP from South Philly. What's up, Joe?
Good morning, King.
All right, let's make this quick. Let's not drag this out like you normally do.
Okay. You know, you had a conversation earlier in the week. It was about analytics. And you were asked, do I take a 37-minute car ride or 32? Now, you answered immediately. When you said,
what was the question I was asked?
Well, you were asked, would you take a 37-minute car ride going?
Oh, yeah, or a 32-minute car ride based using it as in,
And you said, without hesitation, I'll take the 37-minute ride. And your answer was, because I want to look at the scenery. Now, that, what you did, turns analytics upside down. Because you show three.
It's a foolish question by my son. Or by that guy that works in the afternoon, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
One of the same.
Now, you showed that human beings can be unpredictable. It's the way we're made up. But most importantly.
Yeah, it's not. Hey, listen, analytics, and it, unfortunately, it's never going to leave sports. It's hurt the Phillies. The Phillies are not a championship team, even though Rob Thomson says they have a championship roster, because their lineup falters in the playoffs because analytics fails them. You know, it's, and the players aren't doing a good enough job either. So that's part of it. But it comes down to the players. But everybody uses too much of it. It's a guide. It's not an end-all, be-all. It's a guide. So.
And when you gave your answer, you introduced something that analytics has no answer for.
Which is
that was you introduced a variable. Analytics is more rigid the way they think. But you did something that shows a certain kind of dynamic in the way you thought about it. That answer shows that you should throw that.
Well, you know what? I don't want to make
the window.
You know, I don't want to make this a conversation about analytics. And Joe, I appreciate the call. I just to talk about analytics is ridiculous. But we're gonna. I guess we're gonna do it again because Chuck is on the line. What's up, Chuck?
Well, notice the trend that we haven't been doing that the last few weeks. We're doing.
I know.
Good.
I know.
You know, it's amazing. Good morning. It's amazing that the focus on that word, and at the end of the day, whether you run a business, whether you run a sports team, it doesn't matter. You're asking me if I report to you. Other than that, you're asking me for all the information I can give you, and then you're going to take that information and use it selectively to your advantage. That's analytics. So anybody that says they're against analytics is speaking foolishly, because you want all the information you can get, right, Eric?
Well, yeah, and you use it, and then you make decisions. But it's a guide. It shouldn't be an end-all be, you know.
You got it. And there are teams that have admitted, like the Yankees 2 years ago, that they were overusing analytics. They met this season, and they toned that down a lot, and apparently it was successful. In other words, they were telling hitters what they should do, and the batters can't do that. Hitters got to react to the pitch, obviously. You know why? Because all the information you have on pitchers changes the next game.
You know what one scout told me, or one baseball executive told me? Teams are now throwing breaking balls all day long to Bryce Harper.
All day long. Sure they are. Yeah, because that information shows that's more effective. But then when you react to that, they'll go back to the four-seamer.
It doesn't work anymore.
That's exactly right. So we grin it. Now, here's two quick points. I'd like to make a Soto point if we have time after this point. I am fascinated by what's happening with Barkley. We have never had a 6 yards per attempt back. We've got a lot of good backs, McCoy, and you know who they are. It's amazing that this guy's averaging 6 yards per carry. That's historic. I mean, we're halfway through a season, and this guy could get 2,000 yards rushing. That is unbelievable. And
yeah, they got to be careful, too, about using him. He touched the ball 30 times last week. That can't be consistent with the rest of the games this season. You just can't do that because he's had an injury history. He fought that limp. He's fine. He looked fine this week when I saw him running sprints. But you got to be careful.
To just give the offensive line the props they deserve, if you want to do a statistical comparison, check this out. Sanders leaves town at 5.0 yards per carry. That's impressive. That's number one. 5.0 is really high. He then goes to 3.4 behind his new offensive line. Barkley comes in off a season at 3.9. He's averaging 6.0. That's a lot of credit to the offensive line, too, in addition to the running back, right?
Yeah, but the running back deserves credit because once he gets to the second level, you know, he's very, very, very dynamic.
His speed in the second level. All right, so if I said to you, you have to spend free cash $10,000 a day, how many days do you think you could do that consecutively? $10,000 a day. Hard to do, right? It's a lot of money.
Yeah, to do what? What am I doing with it?
Yeah, that's the interest income on Soto's next contract at $50 million. He can't spend his interest income. So I don't think he's making a decision on the most money. I think he's making a decision where he can win. And the reason I think he eliminates the Yankees, I don't think he trusts Judge postseason career numbers. He's half the player in postseason is regular season. I think that's what eliminates the Yankees. I think it's the Dodgers or the Phillies. But what if he ended up in Atlanta?
What about the Mets? The Mets are close to $100 million come off their payroll.
I
don't think Soto, now I'm projecting here, of course, this is crazy, but I don't think Soto projects the Mets culture as a World Series team. I just don't think he projects that.
Yeah, but his marketing opportunities, when you're talking about money, are much greater in New York than they are in Philadelphia or even Los Angeles, even as big a city as it is.
Can you imagine that lineup with Soto in L.A.? Now, keep in mind, they've already dropped the hint, L.A. They've already said they want to put Betts back to the infield. Isn't that telling us? Because the only place they're weak, Dodgers, is second base, right? Lots of those guys don't cut it. If you put Betts at second base on that team, and you put someone right field, you could dial in 115 wins. I mean,
oh, my gosh.
You know, that would be unbelievable.
And remember, Otani's coming back as a pitcher next year, too.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Hey, Chuck, let me run. Hey, have a great weekend. All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Analytics is a guide. That's what it should be. Will, from the Northeast, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
All right. I just want to say, I want to say something about Embiid first, man. Like, this is a disgrace to Philadelphia. The owner is a disgrace to Philadelphia. And it's like, this guy goes out to play for a gold medal to go get an MVP, but you don't go to get a championship in the ring? I don't see the logic in that. I would do everything in my power to get that ring because that ring is going to solidify your legacy. So I don't think we have any chance with him be, you know, I tried to give him a chance, and I want to see him do good because I know he can be a great player.
Well, I had said a few years ago that they will never win a championship with Joel Embiid because he doesn't have what's inside. There's something that has to be inside a player to win.
Yeah.
It's not just talent. There's something has to be, and he's hurt all the time. You know, Daryl Morey, I mean, I don't know what he – I can't even – come up with an answer. Like, why did you extend this guy when you knew he had a bad knee? And he's always hurt. What are you doing? All they care about is their arena right now. That's all they care about. So to make people happy, the arena is going to be a absolute disaster for the city of Philadelphia financially. The mayor only cares about herself, so she took care of the trade unions. And it's not going to bring business to that part of Center City. It's going to clog up the Center City. And they don't have enough money to build it. And the Sixers are going to have to get money from the city. So it's still going to cost the city a half a billion, $500 million of city money to build that arena. There's just no way around it. There's no way around it. But that's all the Sixers care about because it increases the value of their team. And the arena would be a disaster for the city of Philadelphia.
And you know what would make it a more disaster? I'm going to say something about the Eagles. I'm going to be fast. If the fans do not show up, just don't show up, man. Let them pay all that money and all that. And don't show up because guess what? He don't care about the fans. And just like what you just said, only thing he care about is the money. I'm going to be real quick with the Eagles. I just want to ask you, Howard. Is it crazy that I believe Dotson can be an actual great check down man? I think that, like, you know, that'll take some of the pressure off Saquon. They haven't seen him activated that
well,
much.
Well, I want to see, but you still have two great receivers in AJ, the great receivers in AJ and Devontae. But the reality, I don't know why Dotson is not. He gave up a third round pick, so obviously they saw something in him. But we'll see. I mean, they're going to have to, every week you got to put a little nuances into the offense. Hey, Will, let me run, and you have a great weekend. Hey, thanks for the call. 215-592-9494. Mark Lawrence coming up very shortly. And he will take a look at the weekend football, including the Eagles, here at the Borgata at the Sportsbook. What's happening at the Borgata? Well, what's happening? I could be here for an hour and point out different things as I see every week. It is an unbelievable place, whether it's the restaurants, which are really sensational. That's what they are, sensational. whether the poker room people really enjoy, open 7 days a week. It's just, and everybody enjoys it. There's so many good things. The bars, the live music, the big name entertainment, spacious casino filled with your favorite slots and table games. The action at Borgata is terrific. And the spa is an award-winning spa. Don't forget about that. What you got to do is start planning your getaway today. You're not that far away. And here's how to do it. Check it all out. TheBorgata.com for more details.
First and 10. Romo back. He floats it out on the far side to Barber. Barber fumbles the football. It's stripped away. It's picked up. It's Hanson down the near sideline. 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown! Auxilio Hanson, 97 yards.
You know, when you listen to those things, you say, man, that was Auxilio Hanson with the fumble return. You know what? A lot of these things happen because the Cowboys suck. Yeah, that's really what it comes down to. Let's go to Drew. Drew, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Howard.
Hey.
Yeah, look, Eagles, I mean, look, obviously they got to win this game. They stubbed their toe off in Dallas when they shouldn't have, and they just got to go win this game. So it's not that complicated, and got to do it.
Well, you still have to go out there and play the 60 minutes. And the Cowboys have issues. I'd rather have Dak Prescott play because I know he turned the ball over. But when you have a backup quarterback, sometimes the other team might say, you know, it might take it for granted. With the other game coming up, Washington on Thursday, you got to be careful of that. And a lot of times when a backup quarterback plays the first time for a team, the team rallies around him. So they got to be careful with that situation. So it's not they should kill this team because the Cowboys do suck. But if they play the way that they have been playing, they will kill this team. But we got to see.
Howard, you're exactly right. And you know the other half of that thing about the backup quarterback is sometimes the other team lets down because of the backup quarterback being in, and that's something they got to avoid. You know, they got to avoid letting down.
Well, yeah, that's the point I tried to make, right?
Yeah. So on the one hand, the Cowboys themselves know they need to play their best. All the other guys are going to rally around Cooper Rush, and the Eagles, they can't afford to let down because it's not Dak. And I agree with you, Dak being not nearly as mobile as he used to be and a turnover machine, you know, I'd rather have him playing because he's going to not take care of the ball as well. But I really called about the Phillies, Howard. I mean, I don't think Dombrowski has gotten enough criticism. I know some people have criticized him, but I just feel like he hasn't taken the heat at all, nearly as much as he should have. This championship window these past 3 years, I feel like he has really let the team down, let the franchise down. Ever since he signed Trey Turner, I mean, he thought that move was going to put them over the top after getting to the World Series. And
I think he had some – here's the thing is, I'm not going to give Dave Dombrowski a pass. I think he's a good baseball man, but I'm not giving him a pass. He signed Taiwan Walker. He stinks. He's made trades at the trade deadline, which were really insignificant, as it turns out. So these are the things that you have to look at. Sometimes you got to take the shot, but I don't know how much pressure he's getting from above not to trade young players. You got to seize the moment, and the Phillies didn't seize the moment. And Trey Turner, I think, was the pressure from a few people, and one of them was the assistant general manager, Bryce Harper. So I wonder how much, but Trey Turner, I thought, was a better player, but I didn't, you know, he's a good offensive player. I just didn't realize he was so below average defensively. Those are not the things you really pay attention to.
Yeah, so. Me neither, Howard. But also, this trade that he made, okay, the trade where he basically traded Logan Ohapi for Brandon Marsh. Okay, I know Syndergaard, and there was another, like, less significant player the Phillies sent over there, right, to the Angels. But that trade is really, I look at that as just a really lousy trade. I mean, Logan Ohapi, I'm not saying he's going to be the greatest catcher ever, but, I mean, it's just you have JT Realmuto in the stage that he's in. Ohapi hit, like, I think 15 to 20 home runs last year already for the Angels, and I don't know how he is defensively necessarily, but, you know, I don't think that trade was very good, and I just think the bottom third of the lineup, whether it's Dombrowski or ownership or whatever combination thereof, it's just like, you can't, you just can't mishandle the half of the lineup like they did.
I agree that, you know, Brandon Marsh, as it turns out, and Drew, I appreciate the call and have a great weekend. Brandon Marsh, as it turns out, is nothing but a fourth outfielder. That's all he is. He's a fourth outfielder. Big Aaron, what's up?
What's going on, Howard, man?
You tell me.
You know what? Man, the Sixers, man, they've been trash for like 20 years, bro. I mean, can they get some good? Josh Harris, let's start there. Why is he the owner? Why the hell is he the owner?
Because he had more money than anybody else.
and don't know nothing about baseball.
He's rooting against the Eagles, too. He's trying to, he's hoping the Eagles lose. Boy, how can you be a Sixers fan when the owner of the Sixers is rooting against the Eagles? I mean, it's a joke. It's a joke. It's a bad situation. Bad situation.
You know what pisses me off more than I see with the Dallas Cowboys, something on, somebody wearing something with Sixers on there? I wouldn't wear nothing to have a Sixers ounce, nothing.
Yeah, I can't believe people are still buying tickets. It amazes me. Or people are still buying tickets.
And your son defends them to the hill. And I'm getting on him. He defends them to the hill.
Well, they don't play any defense. Paul George was like 4-for-13 last night. You know, why isn't he better? I know that they're missing a couple of players, and they look at him, but 4-for-13, he just. You know, he's got to give him a little bit more too. But Embiid is the.
Okay, can I ask you this? Why can't they draft young players that can play? Every time I look at the NBA, there's players coming off the bench, energetic. We got a bunch of old guys.
Well, they're not good. They're not good at that. Maxey was Elton Brand, and thanks for the call. Maxey was Elton Brand, so that's it had nothing to do. Morey just. I don't know how this guy is the ultimate con man, the ultimate con man to keep on getting a lot of money for jobs. All right, Mark Lawrence will join us next. We'll take a look at the weekend football here at the Borgata. The time now is 9:35, and it's time to enjoy. You know, during the show, I talk about Tasty Cake. You know, you can have more than one pack during my show because you will enjoy it. You got to get set for your day, take care of yourself to get ready and put a smile on your face. Just get your favorite Tasty Cake treat. That'll put a smile on your face, but then you got to decide which one, so that's a big chore. Butterscotch crimpets are great. Peanut butter candy cakes are great. They're the staple. But there's so many other great pies and cakes that you can't miss when you get a Tasty Cake. You can't miss. So take care of yourself. It's always time. It is always time for a Tasty Cake. So choose what feels right and enjoy it. You've earned it. You know you deserve it. Tasty Cake, accept no substitutes.
Bradford fires and it's caught on the run. And inside the 10 into the end zone goes Matthews for a touchdown to win the game. 41 yards to Jordan Matthews.
You know what? There's so many good highlights of the Eagles beating the Dallas Cowboys. And that's when Dallas Cowboys fans actually thought they were good, which they clearly were not, and they are not right now. Take a look at the weekend football, as we always do on Saturdays during the show, is Mark Lawrence. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing just terrific, Howard. How are you?
Oh, another day in paradise, Mark. What can I tell you? All right. College football, there's actually quite a few good games on the card. Who do you like?
Yes, there are quite a few good games. We're at that stage of the season where you get these good teams playing down the stretch with a lot of on the line for these teams. We're going to fade two of them, though. Two undefeated favorites that are on the road this week, and it's where the noose gets tighter and tighter for these undefeated teams. Now, the first, we're going to play against Army when they go to North Texas today. And you've got a lot to like in this football game. You got Notre Dame on deck for Army. But the fact of the matter is this North Texas team can play. They can score. They've got a terrific offense. And I think this is a really bad trap spot here for Army here. I think this game goes down to the wire if North Texas doesn't take them out straight up.
Okay. Who else do you like?
I think we're going to fade Brigham Young when they go to Utah today in the Holy War. And the unusual thing about this game is, if you look at the Big 12 preseason media poll, it was Utah that was picked to finish first in the Big 12, and BYU is picked to finish 13th in the Big 12, and yet what do we find here? We find a role reversal to the mix in a big, big rivalry game. There's still a lot of talent on this Utah football team, and the dog inside this civil war is on 7-3 to the spread the last 10 games. I think Utah ends BYU's perfect season here today.
All right, Mark. The term you use, bubble burst, when a team is undefeated deep into the season and they lose a game, the next week, a lot of times you go against them. Are there teams in that situation today?
Yeah, we're going to play against Iowa State today. They had their bubble burst in a big way when they were favored. And that's the key when you're playing against these bubble burst teams. They had to have been favored and losing a game they were expected to win and don't. And the next week they come back, they're favored again. Very, very difficult role for these teams. And you're playing a pretty good Kansas football team who's been disappointing this year, but their head coach does all of his work, all of his money making at home when he hosts football teams here. I like Kansas to take Iowa State down a second week in a row.
All right. Is there another team in that situation?
Well,
no?
No, they would have to be favored, and really we don't. We have one pure bubble burst, and that's Iowa State today.
Okay. You know, another game, Vanderbilt has surprised a lot of people, but maybe the odds makers have finally caught up with the fact that they're a good team. Now, South Carolina's a good team, and they're 6.5, and you say, well, let's go with Vanderbilt again, but I don't like that side. Do you like South Carolina in that game?
Yes, I do. Take a look at Vanderbilt. They've been terrific. They've won 4 games outright as an underdog this year. No other team in college football has won more. But this game has got, I think, letdown written all over it here. First of all, they won the game last week and lost by 100 yards in the stats. Secondly, it was their 6th win of the season, which makes them bowl eligible. And they're bringing South Carolina in here on 5 wins. They need a 6th win to become bowl eligible themselves. I think South Carolina makes a statement against Vandy today as well.
All right, let's take a look at the pros. Who do you like?
I'm going to fade 2 favorites that won the game last week but lost the yardage. And this stuff begins to work real well the second half of the National Football League season. It means these teams have holes. And the first thing we're going to do is we're going to fade the Buffalo Bills, who everybody has anointed as being the team next to Kansas City of the AFC to make it to the Super Bowl. And you can argue Baltimore, too, but I don't believe that to be the case. If you look at Buffalo, look inside those numbers there, you'll see that they've been out-yarded in 5 of their 9 games this year. Hmm. And they're, for the season, if you look at their total net stats, they only win the stats 2 little net yards a game in average, does Buffalo. You've got they scored 30 points 3 games in a row, and that's always a no-no. They're 0-8 to the spread as a favorite when they are in that role, and they're also just 1-8 straight up into the spread against the AFC South. I think Indianapolis gives Buffalo all they want on Sunday.
Who else do you like?
I'm going to play Arizona plus the 1.5, and somebody's got to explain to me why the New York Jets are favored in this football game.
Jets.
It must be an Aaron Rodgers love affair. That's all I can figure here. You look at these two teams, Howard, they're going in opposite directions here. And
unbelievable.
Arizona's playing some really good football. They won and covered the last 3 in a row. The Jets beat Houston last Thursday in that football game, but they lose the stats in that football game as well. And they're only 1-5 to the spread the last 6 games. I just think the wrong team is favored here. I think Arizona continues their winning ways against the Jets.
You know what? I'm not a fan of Russell Wilson or the Stillers, as they say in Pittsburgh. However, Washington, I'm not quite ready to jump on that. I know they're a better team. Do you like a side in that game? I mean, Pittsburgh seems to be maybe the side in that game. What do you think?
You know, I do like Pittsburgh in this football game. And, perhaps part of that reason is Russell Wilson. He's a guy who I was on their anti-Fay train list all after they signed him. But, he's done some pretty good things for them here so far. And I think what really works in the football game is in his career when he's a dog against teams that have won back-to-back games. He's 18-4 to the spread in that particular role. It's the role he'll be in here against Washington. I think Washington comes back down to earth in this football game here. I think Pittsburgh, the better defensive team at least, wins this game.
All right. Well, we got to take a look at the Eagles now. As you said last week, that was a crazy game, and the Eagles did not cover. I would not lay the points in this game, although I do think the Eagles will win the game. Your thoughts?
I echo those sentiments exactly. I think Philadelphia goes in here and wins the game, but comes home without the money again this particular week. And this is a real difficult spot for Philadelphia. I know they're not going to look past Dallas. They do have Washington next. I mean, Dallas is a big heated rival, a hated rival, I should say. But this is a scary spot here with Dallas starting Cooper Rush. That's that rally around the starting quarterback gig for Dallas doing the football in a football game just like this. It might end up biting Philadelphia. The Eagles have got to bring their A game here and not play down to Dallas' level here this week. I think Philly wins, but Dallas gets the money.
Yeah, there's no way I'm laying it at 7 or 7.5.
No.
It ain't happening for me either. So, but I think they're going to win the game. The problem is they got Washington coming up, and you can't help. It's human nature. You can't help but look at that game on Thursday night.
Especially when Washington is who they're in the battle with right now. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly right. All right, if people have interested in Mark's services, 800-321-7777 or on the internet, playbooksports.com. Mark, have a great week. I'm headed to Dallas. Dallas or whatever the hell that stadium's located. Who the heck knows anymore down there. But you have a great week, and we'll talk again next week.
All right, have a safe trip, Howard. Be well.
All right, thanks. All right, so you got your games. You know, I guess we'll have a parade down Broad Street that Joel Embiid will play on Tuesday. Unbelievable. And I will leave you with this, as back at the studio, Dan Wilson made a guest appearance helping us out back at the studio. Justin D'Orazio here at the Borgata. I'll leave you with this for all the Cowboys fans. And Rob Ellis, and I assume Mike Sielski are next. I don't know if it's Mike, but Rob, my man Rob, taking care of things. I'll leave you with this. Dallas sucks. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you next from Dallas. Take care. Time now, man.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas. This is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.